This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, there's a lot of things happening here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. What up, Jim? How you doing? There's definitely some folks that are giving us the stories of that dude or woman that they had to face off against, because we were about all the high schoolers that had to run against Quincy Wilson. Yeah. Yes, the Quincy Wilson that was an Olympian. Mm-hmm. He set a U.S. high school record at Penn Relays this past weekend. And there's many people who are talking about the times they had to play against. Let's see, Cedric Benson when they were at Eisenhower.
That's all I needed to hear right there.
Shout out to Katie
Salute
Legend.
To you, brother.
Right, I know.
I hope you are well.
Were you a linebacker? Because those are the ones that stink. Yeah. Somebody said that they were had to play against Andy Dalton. 406 said they got no hit by Josh Beckett in the playoffs.
I saw Josh Beckett a lot in high school. Pitching in spring, yeah.
832 had to play Kyler Murray junior year in the quarterfinals.
Goodness gracious. Yes. Somebody that never lost his high school career.
I don't even need to know. Like, you say you played Kyler Murray in the playoffs. I know exactly what happened in that game. Y'all got did up. That's exactly what happened. Played against Kelly Oubre, Daniel House, Cameron Ridley, and the Harrison twins when they played high school ball at Fort Bend in 2012. Wow.
Man.
Like, even if all those are in various different places, like, that is woof, woof. So, yeah, if you have some of those stories, please. Somebody said didn't play, but watch Brittany Griner demolish their high school girls team. Yeah,
I watched her in high school, too. I watched her.
I seen Beanie Wells in high school. That ended up getting drafted to the Cardinals as a running back.
Yeah.
That dude was a monster.
He went to OSU, right?
Yes, he did. He went to OSU. He went to school in Akron.
Okay.
He went to school with my ex-girlfriend.
Okay. All right.
There's something incredible about just looking out, especially in high school, something about high school, and you see the kid and you go, he's not supposed to be out here with the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, Gabe Rivera, when I was in high school, some old timers remember him. He won the 100-meter dash and the shot put.
That's terrifying.
In district. He was drafted ahead of Dan Marino. And was a good draft pick at the time, except he ended up getting a car wreck.
I'm sorry. I want to talk about this Texans draft, but I'm just having so much fun seeing the various players that y'all played against Darren Williams and LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's all right. In Dallas area.
I will try and sprinkle some of those in as we go. All right, so this Texans draft is completed, and we've talked a lot about the front end of it, maybe not as much about some of the depth in it when you talk about like the Jalen Reeds of the world that fall in there. You mentioned Lachey as well when it comes to some of these draft picks. But did you have anything that you disliked?
Yeah, let's dig in on that.
This draft, 713-572-4610. Because I don't want to, you know, deny the possibility that someone actually looks at this draft and goes, actually, no, there's things that I would have changed.
Well, gave it an A+, then, right?
I gave it a B+, like you guys. There were a couple of things, and it's weird, too, because I was telling you during the break, I loved the Woody Marks pick. I loved it.
Not more than John Harris.
Can we get that one more time? Yeah, this is John Harris.
Not as much as John Harris.
On the broadcast that you would have heard right here on Sports Radio 610, finding out that Jaquavius Woody Marks is a Texan.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I had you set up.
Looks like it's going to be Woody Marks coming out of USC, the running back.
What? Oh, okay. We just drafted Woody Marks.
Okay, so that guy. What is that sound?
Cut that.
What is that sound? Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
He sounds like he's howling at the moon.
He is a happy dude.
But anyways, you were talking about the fourth round pick.
I wanted Woody a running Marks. Back. I made it very clear. They needed a running back. I wanted a running back. I got the running back. But if we're picking nits, and that's what this segment is about, anything about the draft, feel free to text in 713-572-4610 or obviously Twitch and YouTube comment. Anything that we went like, I did that on Woody Marks. I wanted him. But, boy, they gave up a third-round pick to move up. third round.
They did.
That's a premium and pick, man.
For me,
they still have another third round pick, though,
okay,
right?
Okay. Okay.
That's the only reason I felt like they was comfortable enough to give it up.
Yeah, but that's a lot.
I don't think they would have gave it up if that was their only third round pick in that
year. It almost makes you feel like he better come in and play.
Yeah.
You know,
he better not be like no Juwan Jordan or yeah, whoever. Gerard Jordan.
Yeah.
So that of itself did not upset me by any means. It did make me look back to day one and go, all right, so
what's greedy? What's aggressive?
What is the overpay?
Yeah.
Like I am just more curiosity, less mm-hmm. like frustration, but it was just like, okay, but what is the overpay? Because we know that he was calling. In fact, can you help me out here? This is actually something that came out just earlier today. I'm trying to make sure that I get this right and mm-hmm. attribute this properly. This was actually on McAfee. This is Ian Rappaport on Pat McAfee talking about the moving and shaking that was trying to happen, the calls that were happening in round one, and of course the Texans were present.
So it's always really interesting. So before the draft, I'm starting to hear that a couple teams are really, really active of trying to trade up. And so the teams I heard the Texans were and I heard the Broncos were. And like no one's ever going to tell you who they're trying to trade up for, because obviously they don't want someone else taking them. So the only thing I can tell is like when the calls stop, right? Like if you're trying to trade up for someone and then all of a sudden the calls stop, it's like, all right, well, you were probably trying to trade up for that guy. The Bears take Colston Loveland at 10 and a bunch of calls stopped. And I was like, wow, like, he was maybe the guy, and I don't know specifically those teams are trying to trade up for him, because I think there were some others like Booker Loveland. People like
Loveland the was the bell of the like, ball. Yeah.
So I mean, if you wanted to read it, you could go, huh? Were they trying to get up for Loveland? But they were trying to get up in that space. I think it was probably more Booker. They looked up and
could have been.
If we can't get into
could
this
have
space,
been Loveland.
Then Booker's and yeah. then Booker's going to end up with Dallas or what have you. But yeah, no, he was clearly making some of those calls. But it did again mm-hmm. what you were willing to give up for Woody Marks did make me go, huh.
Yeah.
Just how aggressive were you in that attempt to move?
Because that's pretty aggressive. Okay, another couple things that, again, I gave them a B+. I loved what they did and you know, got the players that I felt, you know, positioned anyway, I felt were important. But they didn't draft a guard at all.
Yeah.
At all. And it just made me, you know, clearly it told me two things. As we've been talking about today, they love this line. They've told us with the, you know, the draft doesn't lie, but also none.
Right. At the position that I think you're the weakest yeah. at, if you're talking about the offensive line in three positions, tackle, guard, mm-hmm. center, I think guard is the one where you were probably the weakest. Although Ariante Ursary, Tay Ursary, the mm-hmm. tackle, 6'6", 330 out of Minnesota, he does profile like, especially early on, that he might work best inside at guard, especially seeing as he could be a little stiff and you got some dudes with some bend
yeah.
Rushing the edge in the NFL. This is Nick Caserio talking about not drafting a guard in the draft.
Yeah, well, look at what the opportunities are. I mean, again, offensive linemen come in different sizes. You have guards only, you have center only, you have tackle only, you have tackles that can play guard that can play tackle. So, I mean, like, honestly, like the more you can prove it, like we talked about, like Titus never played guard before. So, and we didn't know how good he was going to be until he went in there. And honestly, he played at a pretty competitive level. So, I mean, there's no, like, list that says we need to go find a guard like we talked about last night. I mean, if someone can tell me, like, what a need is or what drafting for need or what finding a specific player. I mean, if you play one spot, you better be really good at it. If you play multiple spots, it creates more opportunities for you. And we'll put the five best guys out there, like, whenever we need to play in September.
It made me smile that Nick got obtuse. Tell me what a need is. You know damn well what the word need means. Come on, Nick. But that did make it sound kind of like, are you sure we didn't draft a guard in Ariante?
Sure, sure. No, and I get it. Again, we're picking nits. But another one, you're going to need – okay, I'll put it this way. So they told us what they thought about the offensive line room with their picks, right? They also kind of told us what they thought about the tight end room. They didn't draft a tight end until the seventh round. And we it was kind of like a mini-me of the offensive line. We weren't sure, are these the guys? Or, you know, are they good with all these guys? You know, whether it's, you know, Dalton Schultz or Stover or whomever, you know, Brevin Jordan. Well, they told us, like I said, kind of a mini-me thing, we're good. Now, they did get the seventh rounder.
Luke Lachey.
Luke Lachey, who is almost strictly a blocker projected in the NFL.
So, blocker, kind of dump off guy of sorts.
Yeah. So kind of a little bit of a, huh, okay, I guess they like their tight ends.
Yeah. That, I mean, that felt like something. And also, especially just because of the draft class, that felt like it. I don't know that you were getting a different profile player tight end wise.
Unless they missed on Loveland.
unless they missed on Loveland. Can we talk about the Wisconsin / Florida size elephant in the room?
And that is?
Graham Mertz, quarterback in the sixth round. You did a little bit of moving and shaking for as well. There were so many like trades here and there that I did not understand, or not understand, but I just couldn't keep track of all the way through. Like somebody who was saying if there was some that they didn't like was just, what was that first trade? That first, like, here's some fives for some sixes and a seven. And it was like, well, okay, I guess.
Yeah, what are we doing?
The Graham Mertz as a depth quarterback, I'm not moved by that. And I do wonder if that would have been a guy that would have been selected just generally in this draft.
Or I agree.
You could have gotten as a UDFA. Now, I'm not going to be the guy that complains big about a sixth rounder, especially like a late sixth rounder. But it did make me go, okay, I guess.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I did as well.
Do you read anything into that? Like, do you think that speaks to life after Davis Mills?
No, I think
finding
that's exactly
a backup quarterback or whatever.
I think that's exactly what it is. I feel like you were going to need a quarterback. My only kind of head scratcher was sixth round pick on Graham Mertz, huh? You know, kind of like what you're saying,
right?
Yeah, you need a guy to step in and ultimately be a backup. You know, Davis Mills is going to move on at some point, and you really don't have a whole lot else there. Could you have just signed him, after the draft?
That was my thought. Yeah. But, I mean, I guess that's kind of the draft. That's part of it is don't necessarily wait and hope that something falls. At times, you want to make sure that you just get what you want when you can get
it. To me, I kind of looked at that as Nick Caserio trading a six to some team that was already about to release somebody.
Yeah.
And they just didn't. They just wanted to get him first,
right?
Just in case crazy things. Hell, the Browns could have took him another quarterback.
Now, something that in the moment bumped me, but ultimately I think I'm fine with, was the pairing of in late third round Jalen Smith, cornerback out of USC, and then the early sixth round selection of Jalen Reed, the safety.
Mm-hmm.
So the law firm of Jalen and Jalen jumping in to add depth to your secondary. I think just with how much secondary talent you have there, but I'm like, you do need depth. And getting young guys that you have for controllable, especially with all the guys that you're paying, I think those are good moves.
Yeah.
Guys that look like they're going to be able to contribute special teams-wise, and that, especially if they develop well with a great defensive development coach in D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke and everybody there, they might develop, and you might even find a diamond in the rough that then helps you continue to handle what's going on for years to come. So I think that those guys were interesting.
I think it's a good thing, but some people might not. I think some of these guys on the back end certainly were special teams picks. I mean, they were picked for Frank Ross and special teams, as the number one priority, and then everything else you get after that is just gravy. But I think that's where he falls in, Jaden Reed. God dog it, first time. Jalen Reed. I've gone all day.
You going to start putting these dollars in the helmet with me?
I've gone all day, and I haven't slipped up until then. Jalen Reed.
That's right. That's who we're talking about. But yeah, all the way around, I think, like, a good draft that I really loved getting the wide receivers. So the weapons, that feeling, it feels like there's a lot to work with. There's a lot of versatility within that. And the only thing is just the question that remains is the one that was there to begin with, which is just how well will these free agents that you brought together on – is bargain basement disrespectful?
I think it depends on who you're talking about, because like it's not disrespectful for Trent Brown,
right? So I mean, just
he's got some questions.
The guys that you brought in free agent wise to kind of cobble together this offensive line, are they able to do this? Because again, it feels like the organization looked up and were like, hey, this was a lot more about the coaching and the scheme, and if we get that coaching and the scheme right, it comes together. And I'm like, you better be right, because if there is some level of conversation about what the talent was as well, I think that you could end up in a place where you end up leaving stuff on the table. And it feels like this is the type of team and this is the time where you don't want to leave things on the table. You want to be able to hit as hard as you can and maybe try and contend for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the 409 says, one draft pick that made me think of Lopez. Tyler Shook getting drafted, and his dog was so excited for him.
His dog was so excited. She got lit in that moment.
Jumping around. Hey, we did it. We did it.
That's a great point, because I will admit, after the first round, the draft, and I was moving around a little bit this weekend, the draft kind of became background noise for me. Were you watching intently, and was there anything that you were like, oh, this was really a fun part of watching the draft?
Most of day two. Day three, I was like you. Day three, I was in and out. But, you know, just sort of keeping up on my phone. But it's kind of hard to miss Tyler Shook's dog. Did you see it, Figgy?
Nah, I gotta find it.
It's
I gotta look at it.
I mean, just jump. I'm looking at it right now, just jumping around everywhere. This is awesome. This is great.
Shout out to the 409. We were asking earlier, we were talking about Quincy Wilson, the Olympian, having a run, or these other high schools having a run against him, and talking about that time that you faced off against a professional or soon to be professional. And we have somebody that played in the Cubs minor league system. So he started talking about having taken deep by Evan Longoria and B.J. Upton. There's no shame in that game, right?
Oh, no, nothing.
There's none whatsoever. Like, all of these instances, whatever you did against these people, I'm not mad at you, right? As long, especially if you got you got your one little lick in there, like, oh, I crossed them up real quick.
Just make contact.
What have you, right?
Just make contact.
Rashad Lewis at Sharpstown was a problem. I don't doubt that one bit. Somebody said he had to play Clint Sterner in the playoffs. Okay, shout out to you. I hope that that worked out well. I have a strong feeling that it didn't for you. And then from the 713, got burned by Gary Kubiak while playing cornerback in high school.
No shame there.
I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't think so either. Keep sending those in if you got them, man. They make me smile, personally, if nothing else. Something that always makes me smile is you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. It's Figgy Fig with Figgy's mixtape, which is coming up next. Figgy, what you got for us?
Man, so John Gruden Lopez will be breaking down the draft walk-up music, and he got his top five plus some draft crash outs over the QB position.
Oh, goodness. All right.
So entertaining.
All right. We'll do it next.
Yep. It's Figgy's mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. So over the weekend, the OG John Lopez had some homework, man. I gave him some homework, and you know, the draft was going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's specifically Thursday. Some of the first rounders had their walk-up music. So we kind of talked about that a little bit on Friday, and I gave John Lopez some homework to review some of these songs and pick his top five.
I did. Anything you need to know about contemporary music, especially hip hop and rap, I got you covered.
I've often said this.
Yeah. You should. Now, a little background. I didn't do the International Players Anthem because we figured. You know.
But did you just listen to it anyways?
Well, I knew it. I had listened to it.
I mean, just enjoy it one more time.
I think I did, actually.
Good.
But let me go through everything you need to know. And where they fall,
okay,
on some of these, and then I'll give you my top five to one on the walk up music that we heard Thursday. Free promo, all right, Lil Baby.
Whose walk up was this?
This was
Figgy.
I've got it right here.
Okay,
this was Jihad Campbell.
Ah, yes,
yeah. So I thought it was a good beat. Here's the thing, Figgy, and this is where I want y'all's input, because I think I got this right.
I probably should have listened to these songs.
I felt really good about all these. I'll give you, you'll hear some of the top five.
Cool. Very good.
He could have used a collaborator. It was only him.
He need a feature on there?
Yeah. I was listening
Pay for the feature, little baby.
It became redundant. You know, because he's got a certain tone to his voice. He's got a certain tone to his voice that's almost a little too high-pitched. He needed, like, a collab to come back. That's what I thought on Free Promo. All right. Right About It. Lil Wayne. All right. It was Lil Wayne and Drake. What are you going to say? I mean,
fair. It's actually fair.
What are you going to say? That was one that I'd heard before, loved it. I thought, obviously, I mean, it's Lil Wayne and Drake. I don't really need to dig into it.
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're
signing up for.
Yeah. This is where it starts getting interesting, because some of these I had never heard before, some just maybe a little bit here and there. About My Money, QT7 with Boss Man Dlo.
D-Lo. Yep.
D-Lo. I never heard of them. That's why.
Boss Man D-Lo getting some run out here, man.
Yeah. I never heard of him.
Very popular.
Dude, I was like, listen. First of all, so you know, I listened to all of them Friday night, kind of briefly, just drinking a glass of wine. And then Sunday morning, I dug in. Like, I dug in. Like the old music.
Drinking the glass of wine, listening to Boss Man D-Lo. That's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
And then Sunday morning, I dug in, like, in my old music reviewer channel. This was really good to me. This was really good. Loved the rhymes. I'd never heard of him, as I just clearly indicated. But I thought it was really, really good. Didn't make the top five, though.
Really? Okay.
Didn't make the
but
top five.
But you're going to stash this one away to maybe...
It might be. It's in the...
Next road trip, we're going to hear Boss Man D-Lo.
Yeah, it's in the mix somewhere. All right, here's where I think I might be somewhat controversial. So Bottom by Gunna. And that was Mason Graham's walk-up music.
Damn, Gunna. But he did beat the charge, and that's the most important
part.
Here's
the thing. It sounded, and you guys might know this if you're familiar with the song. I don't know if you've heard it recently or not, Reggie. I know Figgy has. It sounded like another rap that I'd heard before. I couldn't shake that.
That's a lot of raps.
And it wasn't like a sample.
In 2025,
It wasn't like a say. It was just, and then I'm going to get into the music mode here.
Okay.
It needed a bridge. And it
well, that's something that we just don't have enough bridges anymore in music.
It
period.
Needed a bridge.
Yeah, man.
Like it was the same thing for 3.5-4 minutes. The same thing. Good rap. But I was like,
just a clean loop.
Yeah. Bring someone else in. Change the tone. Change the bridge. New style. You know, add a different, a deeper voice. Something.
Oh, man, I love what you're doing here. Go ahead, because I have long advocated for bringing a bridge back.
It didn't have anything. It was just flat. It was just flat.
Bring bridges back to music, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. All right. Let It All Work Out, Lil Wayne. And that was...
This has become commercial music.
Travis Hunter. I loved it, man. I mean, I'd heard it before, but listening to it again and digging
in... This isn't top five still?
Well, I'm going to get to the top five.
Wow.
I just loved... No, all I'm going to go through all of them, but then among these are the top five.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, I just loved the message. Like, this was the writer in me, the lyrics, freaking outstanding. Like, ain't no one like you in this B. But the way that he backed it up with, like, messages, and awesome. Like, it was awesome.
Very good.
All right. Clear My Reign, Gunna with Leon Bridges. All right.
Well, we are coming back from break.
Whoa, hey.
Some start playing.
I don't know what plan.
This was one where I went, I guess I just truly will never understand Gen Z. The guy's got amazing talent. I was pretty mediocre at best on
he
his
just
previous
don't like
one.
Gunna.
I think I don't. Yeah. I think I don't.
Okay. I could kind of see that.
It's an easier vibe, way too melodic. Again, probably could have used a bridge. And the first thing I wrote down was, meh. Mm. I just, you know, don't take it out on me.
Okay. All right.
All right. And now here we go. Toast Up. Also Gunna. So clearly the Gen Z loves Gunna. That's why I said that. That's why I said that. I clearly am not vibing with what those guys are doing. In all honesty, hand to God, I thought it was the same song as Clear My Reign.
Okay.
I thought it sounded almost exactly like Clear My Reign. Mm. Thank You, Lord. Kia Lamalua. Alcon, superstar in waiting. This dude is a superstar.
Shout out to Tet McMillan.
In waiting. Tet McMillan's walk-up song, incredible voice, incredible. Again, this is the music reviewer. The tone, the composition, melody, lyrics, everything. I downloaded it and put it on a playlist. I put this on a playlist that I have of some hip-hop, et cetera. All right, Walk Through. Rich Homie Quan with Problem, terrific as well. It was produced amazingly well, composed. He put a nice, and you can help me on this part. I thought he put a great twist on like an old school early 2000s rap beat. Like the beat was from the early 2000s, which is what I like the most. And incredible rapping talent. I mean, like big fan off the charts. Get Ready, Rod Wave with Kodak Black. Very smooth, very good. Easy story to tell, told it well, just kind of missed the cut a little bit. It was very good. It was very, very good. Forever, Drake.
Classic.
With Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem.
Classic might be heavy, but you know what I mean.
It's a throwback.
Good. Last name forever, first name greatest.
Yeah, it was an old school beat too, which I like, and I'm kind of biased toward. And it's the biggest of the big. It's like the other one. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, it's an older song.
Yeah,
too,
what do you so. Want? I mean, that's the best. Freestyle, Rod Wave, who was also earlier. I thought it was a lot better than his previous one. Like, this was him at his best because it was not just the great rap, great lyrics. He kind of featured his own singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can sing. like Sing Sing. Not
so,
just,
so
not
he,
just
he got a little. He got a little bit of a variety in there, and that you appreciated that.
Yeah. So let me give you my top five.
Very good.
Number five.
Now you got to say this in the John Gruden voice. What you listening to, man?
I'm listening to that freestyle, that Rod Wave.
Okay, all right. Freestyle by Rod Wave, fifth.
I like this one a lot. Number four. You know, that's that Drake. That's that Drake.
Goodness gracious.
With Kanye and Lil Wayne and Eminem.
I like this band.
I love these guys.
That really did sound very much like.
I love these guys.
That sounded like John Gruden quite a bit.
Number three. Dude, this guy's a superstar in the making.
But only third, though.
He's third. Remember the name. Kiala Malua Alcon. Outstanding. Listen to the whole thing if you get a chance. Like the song is. Come on. Come on, man.
I like Ted McMillan's vibe.
Yeah. Come on, man. That is outstanding. Number two. I be feeling like the man when I walk through. Ain't saying what you saying when I walk through. I got all these. Big fan.
I mean, this is great walkout music.
This is great walkout music.
This is great music if you feel like you're the man.
Exactly. Yeah. Just that lyric, I be feeling like the man when I walk through, definitely is cool.
You know, that Rich Homie Quan has really got it going. Yeah. That Rich Homie Quan, I downloaded this one as well. I'm going to listen to this maybe on the way home. I love, love, love this one. But it wasn't number one. I think this is a perfect hip-hop tune. Mm. If you listen, the combination of the lyrics, the star power, the beat, the rhyme, this is an awesome song.
Yeah, I mean, this one has felt like it's well situated to be used. Like, I could easily see this like being all over
like
fall with college football. Like, I could easily see them having this all up and down.
Yeah.
That. So, yeah, no, that one definitely felt like that was going to be number one.
All right, cool. Figgy, any adjustments to my top five there?
Nah, man, this is your list.
Well, I'm just curious what you thought, if anything should have been in there.
Not really. I feel like this was solid, especially coming from you. I am
disrespectful.
No,
I get it.
No, I think it's fair. Like, even you talking about Gunna, how everything sounds the same. That's a lot of people that are a little old school. I mean, I put myself in that same you know, group. I feel like a lot of that stuff is the same, man. Like, you get the same type of albums. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you're getting when these guys put out music. So I thought it was fair, man.
I was lukewarm on Gunna, man. I was like, man, okay.
Yeah, Charles Menahue going to have some words for you.
Is he a big fan?
Yo, big fan.
Really?
Oh, I'm going to let Gunna know that John Lopez is not a huge fan of what's happening. You think I have a line on Gunna? That's funny.
And Lil Baby was good, but... You gotta have that collab, man. You gotta have another voice on there. It was too predictable, too plain. And then I'm with you.
Bring the bridge back.
Some
baby.
Bridges back.
Bring the bridge back.
But
bring
salute to you, man. Appreciate you doing the homework, man. A+. Right. We talk about grades all day. A+ for that.
All right.
Now we got to get to some draft crash outs.
Here,
man.
We go. Mm-hmm.
We had some people sliding in the draft and all that good stuff. We had. Teams taking players a little early. We got to go through this crash out right here. So the Saints took Tyler Shough. Is it Shough?
Shough.
Yeah, whoever he is, they took him in the second round. And here are Saints fans on Spaces, Twitter Spaces, just crashing out.
25 years old, I got 5 broken good. Legs. 2 broken shoulders. What the f*** is he going to do for me? What the f*** can I do with a nigga that's almost 30 years old? Bro, that nigga been in college for the last 10 years, bro. I can't do shit with that. You going from f***ing Jalen Hurts to Tyler Shough. This going from Beyonce to f***. Man, I ain't going to disrespect that lid like that, bro.
What?
I ain't recording no songs. I ain't got no tweets. I ain't got no positivity. I hope every nigga associated with that f***ing team have a f***. Worst, a terrible life.
Terrible, have a terrible life.
My
Okay, so it sounds like he's excited wow. about the Saints drafting. I like the idea. He's like, I'm not going to be disrespectful. Then what was that?
If that's not disrespectful.
What was the stuff before that then?
He was not a fan of them picking that
Tyler
buddy.
Shuck.
Yep, mm-hmm. in the second round like that.
I was not a fan of him either, just generally.
Yeah, no, I was kind of shocked too. Yeah. So,
He is 26 years old. With and I don't think that there's a ton of upside there, mm-hmm. like to be completely honest. And I will to say it as nicely as I can. When he started at Oregon in, what was that, like 2020, 2021, something like that?
Back in the day.
Way back in the day. The next season, they were like, yeah, you can move it along, and we will start Anthony Brown. And I will allow you to go find out what Anthony Brown looked like at Oregon. And that, they were like, this is it. This is it above whatever that was before.
Yeah, well, that wasn't all the crashing out that happened. So here is, right now, here is Aaron Goldhammer, who I guess him and his co-host and all that stuff, they did like a little draft radio show up in Cleveland. And this is for ESPN Radio Cleveland, live reacting to the Browns as they were about to select at pick number 94.
Well, we are coming back from break here. They just went live to Dylan Gabriel's house.
Oh, God. No way. Yes.
Oh. Don't do what? He's in Hawaii right now. And
Quinn Ewers.
Okay. So they're bouncing around.
I would hate both of those.
They're setting it up, guys.
Uh-oh. They're setting up the Browns to take a quarterback. They know and we don't.
Kyle McCord.
So I think they're going to take one, and the question is, which one?
All right, let's go.
Let's go live to the podium.
With the 94th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Dylan Gabriel.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
What are they doing?
Right. Yep.
Oregon last year, 2 years at Oklahoma before that.
Oh my gosh.
Felt exactly the same.
That is a shocker.
That is the stunner of the night of the entire NFL draft.
Dylan Gabriel went before Shedeur Sanders?
Agreed.
Now, it did work out better because they ended up getting Shedeur Sanders.
I guess if you want to say worked out. but the one thing I will say, I'm so thankful for C.J. Stroud.
Because
if I ever had to say Kyle McCord with a hopeful tone, I'd be very sad. I'd be very, very sad.
Mm-hmm. So when they took, I'm Stroud. Like, I think I had that same reaction.
I was just like,
I'm like, what? He wasn't even. You know how ESPN and NFL Network show the best available quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he was
he on
that
on
list.
No, he wasn't.
I forgot all about him.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot he was even available in this draft.
Yeah.
And when they called us, I'm like, the one from Oregon?
That's right. And UCF and Oklahoma.
I'm like,
right.
What?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. But, hey, salute to them. I'm sure they're happy about Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel at this point.
That is going to be a funny locker room.
And Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and Deshaun, well, not Deshaun Watson.
I want to see what that quarterback room looks like. I don't know.
Put them on Hard Knocks.
I don't really want the full Hard Knocks, but if you could just give me that quarterback room just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, let's go back to the AFC North.
Oh.
Let's do it.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Then, let's go over to Pittsburgh. Let's see what their quarterback room looked like.
Ooh, yeah.
So right now, Will Howard, by the way, I called that.
Will Howard
is the starting quarterback right now. We still don't know what Aaron Rodgers is doing.
And it's almost week one.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers will slide in at week one. Like, all right, we ready? Let's go. Y'all good? One bound, one sound. All right. That is Figgy's mixtape. You catch it right here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, 120 p.m. every day. 281 said my walkout song would be French Montana, ain't worry about nothing. I think that's generally a good sentiment, especially it covers up if a slide happens because then, boom, I ain't worry about nothing. There you go. At the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something you believe to be mixtape worthy that you want to send in. But coming up next, we get ready to talk to the fellas of The Drive, Clint and Ron. Before we get there, though, Rockets are playing basketball tonight, game 4. How are you feeling? And you want to call your shot. We'll do that next. Yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us all Monday long here, reacting to the Texans, selecting their newest, all the newest Texans, especially.
Especially
Woody Marks. John Harris, I swear, man. Like I want to love something as much as John Harris.
Yeah.
You got to realize that was not him watching football. That was not him reacting to watching football. That was him reacting to finding out that a player that he liked would be on a team that would then be able to possibly impact watching football. Love John Harris so much.
Like, it is not a crime.
That is, okay, don't do that. Don't do that to the man. All right, what did feel a little bit like a crime was not getting a victory over the Golden State Warriors in game three with no Jimmy Butler. And so game four is tonight, 9 p.m., TNT and also Space City Home Network, depending on which broadcast that you'd like to watch. How are you feeling going into this one? Like, what are your expectations, especially coming off of that particular loss in the way that it happened, where it felt like offensively you just did not have, you didn't have a button to hit, and you definitely weren't hitting the notes?
What's Jimmy Butler going to do? I mean, I've been refreshing. I know you have, trying to find the latest on his. If Jimmy Butler plays, you know, and the way the Rockets have been so unpredictable from Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet, it's going to make it just so that much harder.
All right, but I'll give you the official update or the official status report for Game 4 listed as questionable.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Nothing.
That's right. Because he was listed as questionable for Game 3. So I don't know. Like, this might be a circumstance where they feel like, especially getting a lead in the series, they're up 2-1 over the Rockets. They might feel that, hey, can we afford to steal another game? I would posit that if he could go, he should go, not because of like the Rockets' like crazy ability to like change the series. Although I think that they could if they get it even, but more because, do you see what happened on the other side? This potential bracket, which is the Lakers losing a game in which they played the same five guys for the entirety of the second half in order to try and get a victory over the Timberwolves and losing. So they're down 3-1, and it feels like they shot their shot there to try and get a victory, and they couldn't even up the series. So the Timberwolves up 3-1 could very much close that series out in five and have rest in addition to the youth that, I mean, in theory, if the Warriors were to win, obviously we're still hoping that the Rockets get it done, level it up tonight, and still go and win the series. But from the Warriors' perspective, they got to be looking like, hey, if you are to win this series versus the Rockets, you want to do it as quick as possible because you can't afford to come in as the older and more tired team into a series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, who look like they're not going to have as much wear on them.
Yeah, no, look, but obviously we're more worried about what the Rockets are doing. And really, you know, I said this earlier, like that loss was more about the Rockets than anything that the Warriors did. Although you have to give, obviously, Steph credit, but it was about the Rockets not performing and not living up to, not playing up to what they need to do. Same thing is going to be true tonight, no matter what.
Okay.
I mean, it's about what the Rockets, you know, and it's a cliche and all that. Hey, we're worried about us. No, really, you need to worry about you.
Thank you for
you
that.
Really
Thank
need you. To worry about you because Jalen Green, unacceptable, 2 out of 3 games. Unacceptable. I don't care what anybody says, any argument you can make. You cannot have your perceived, purported, you know, best player just burp up like that in 2 out of 3 games.
The tough part about it is I don't know if he's of a caliber where you can expect, hey, even with doubles and stuff, then all of a sudden you go off. And I'm not saying that 9 points is sufficient, not by any stretch, but I think the question for me is ultimately, what is a reasonable expectation of him considering the way that the Warriors have very much game planned the idea of if we basically take him out of the rhythm, they don't know where else they can find their offense going. And I think that was that game. I'm interested for basketball mind John Lopez, you know, former coach. Like, where does your brain go in ways to answer it, especially if the Warriors are going to continue trying to kind of deny him the ball, and then when he gets the ball, like, not allow him to utilize the pick and roll to the fullest?
Well, the easy answer is going to be Şengün, you know, obviously. But beyond that, I was very, very, I've been very disappointed in Fred VanVleet. And if they're going to do that to him, you're going to just by default get some extra shots. Should get some extra shots. You can't be shooting 26% from there. But then the other thing is as simple as this: you've got to push the ball. You know, you've got to push the ball and score in transition. Their strength is offensive rebounding. You know, if you can do that, you're going to be well ahead of the game. But push the ball in transition. Keep doing what you're doing offensively, and you may need to mix in some new bodies, some fresh looks. You know.
What about more of a body that you've already seen in Jabari Smith Jr.?
He's the one.
He seems like he's handled
all
of his opportunities well. The question that comes up, because I know that B. Scott, we'll talk to him tomorrow. I imagine that we're going to have a lot of thoughts from B. Scott when you talk about draft and a few basketball games since the last time we talked to him. But like with Jabari, I'm like, how do you get more from him? Because I don't think you put the ball in his hands to initiate.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to set a table for him. And right now, your table setters have been the ones who have had poor series to this point. I obviously, barring the 20 or 38 point game by Jalen, like those are the guys, Fred VanVleet and Jalen, who have been ones that have been a little struggling in some ways.
Yeah, no, look, you've got to score more in transition. You've got to be able to do what you did in game one and two, really, offensive rebounding and putbacks and such. But it's so frustrating because they clearly should not have been in this situation in game three.
Yeah.
And to just spit the bit like that was just inexcusable.
All right. We see if they get a win tonight. Now, Lopez, before we welcome in the fellas of the drive and thank D&M Auto Leasing for the opportunity to do so, I think I know who is going to be your favorite new Texan when it comes to the NFL draft and the guys that you acquired over the last few days.
I think I know.
Do you know?
I think I do.
Who do you think it is?
Jaden Higgins.
It is Jaden Higgins.
Yeah.
And
Jalen Knoll.
What? And Jalen Knoll?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just putting up Higgins here because of this particular audio from Jaden Higgins.
Yeah, I definitely like to fish.
Okay.
I'm big on fishing.
Saltwater or fresh?
I'm from Miami, so saltwater okay. When I'm home, but you know, when I'm away, probably, you know, for some bass and crappie and smallmouth, things like that.
And his fishing buddy at Iowa State was Jalen Knoll.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know that.
They would go out together. But he's more of a saltwater guy, which is what I am. I'm almost exclusively a saltwater guy.
I recall that.
Hey, I'm going to be on the water Thursday if he wants to come down.
Oh, is that how you're going to?
Aransas Pass.
You're going to get some insight into the team I'll
be there Thursday.
Up to the fishermen.
I got room on the boat.
Okay, very good. Very good. We'll see. We'll see if we can make that connection happen for you. But I do love kind of, I don't know if that it was intentional or what have you,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like they drafted in pairs. It's like, hey, you and you, y'all come through. I need y'all, you and your homeboy come through. And so you've got these nice kind of like, I don't know if intentional, unintentional pairings to help these guys come into the league and find a level of comfort as mm-hmm. they do so. So excited to see what this team looks like.